Welcome to episode 20. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving. And I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, I am so excited for my next episode. For this episode, I'm actually meeting with somebody whom, or I'm going to be interviewing someone whom I've known for, I want to say it's a good at least six, 7 years, met her in the fitness industry. So I'm very excited. She is definitely an industry leader. She's an entrepreneurial warrior. She's a speaker. She's a podcast host. So we'll get you that information because you also got to check out her podcast. She's a mom of three. Mm-hmm. That's three. She's a wife to one. Thank God for that. I was going to be like, how'd you get more than one? Tell me, girl.
And you don't want to know.
She's in her 40s like me, and she's reinvented 40. And she went from scared to single mom to seven-figure CEO. And I've been so blessed to actually be almost at the beginning of that and to see her thrive. And it's amazing. So put your ears together for Carol Elizabeth.
Woo! Oh my God, I love you. I am woke up.
I love you. I absolutely love you. I remember when I met you, it was in Mississauga at a WBFF, right? Yeah. And ever since then, I met another like energetic human. I was like, is that even possible? Yes, it is.
We were outside the concession stand, like what would have been the concession stand.
That
I
is
remember
right.
Where we were standing too.
Yes, I do. I remember. And I could be wrong. So I'm going to ask my first question, really, I don't know if it takes you back to there or before there, but I do believe when I met you, anyway, I've always thought you were thriving, but now that I've, you know, sort of followed you and really understood what you've grown to become on today, where were you in your thrive then? So like 7, 8 years ago to where you are now, right?
Yeah.
Have you had different episodes of thriving?
Oh my gosh. How long do you have?
Let's go. Let's start. Let's see.
Let's go. Let's go. Because you got to have the dip to have the thrive,
right.
I think, right?
Yes.
And so I'll just take it back to the first dip, which kind of started everything, really. You know, I'm blessed to have 3 kids in 3 years. It was really my kind of sole mission in life. I had some jobs, but all I ever wanted to be was a mom. So when I met a guy, I thought, you'll be a good dad. And we got married. And in true now Carol fashion, like just mind after it, go get it done, steal the deal, move on. So maybe that's why that one didn't work out. But great, great man. And I had three great kids. And I was blessed to be a stay-at-home mom for 11 years. Mm-hmm. During that time, I spent a lot of time on the couch when the kids were napping, watching fitness videos, but eating Eggo waffles and Dorito chips, and then blaming my body on being a mother. And I started to really lose myself. And I remember feeling really guilty that I wasn't fully fulfilled in motherhood, because I was around people and that were, you know, that was the be all end all. And I thought there's something more inside of me. I thought that getting in shape would bring me happiness. I thought that getting abs and looking like the girls in the fitness magazines, you know, back in the day, there was magazines. We read magazines. For all of you that don't know what a magazine is.
Oxygen, remember?
That's the magazine.
That was the magazine.
That was the magazine. And I would eat it, eating chocolate bars, but nonetheless. And so I went on a journey and I started working out and I started to watch what I ate. And, you know, lo and behold, this body kind of started to appear. And an acquaintance of mine said, you should do a fitness show. And at this point I was 38 years old. And I thought, I can't do flips and kicks because that was the only fitness I knew. And they're like, no, there's this new thing.
Figure.
Fitness model. All right. I'm like, I'm going to be 39. Well, lo and behold, I stepped on my first stage at the age of 39 years old in 2009. And I felt flipping fantastic. I loved it. And although I was happy that I hit a goal, I still wasn't fulfilled internally. I wasn't happier. I had the body, I had the abs, but I wasn't any happier. And so what that brought on was a lot of years in the fitness industry, which I love because of people like you and so much evolution and growth in that. But I think that one of the greatest lessons I learned in fitness was about personal development. Mm-hmm. Because if I unpack one of the most pivotal things that started to shift my mindset was that I used to go, as you know, and do a lot of cardio. Mm-hmm. And doing that cardio, I would search up like fitness motivation videos. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, and maybe now still, it was a lot of like half-dressed women working out. But over top of all these videos was Les Brown.
Yes.
E.T.
I was going to say Eric Thomas.
the words over. And so I stopped watching the videos of the gym chicks and I started to listen to those people. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you want it as bad as you want to breathe, you got to be hungry. Mm-hmm. And so I applied it to fitness, but it started to just transform my brain for everything else in life. Mm-hmm. And so then I had to look really deep inside and say, am I happy and fulfilled in my marriage? Is this the right thing for my children? Is this the right thing for my then husband? And at the age of 41, I went through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And obviously that was a hard decision. And here I was finding myself having to find a way to create an income. And mm-hmm. so the dip of that and the fear of the unknown and the uncertainty kind of forced me into another space in life where I had to take a look at what was possible in mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. So I can keep going, but I...
No. And I love that. So I love where you ended because I'm going to just... So there's a great author. His name is Kyle Cease. And he talks about, you know, fear or when change happens. So I'm taking you back to the age of 41, getting divorced. You said you're a stay-at-home mom. You now need to figure out income. And a lot of times we get stuck in change because we can only see what we stand to lose and not what we stand to gain. Mm. And so did any of what, like in terms of making that decision to walk away from marriage, which is never easy. And I can tell you there's a listener on here that just resonated with them because they're wondering, am I fulfilled? Whether it's a career or, you know, so what was the thought process? Like, if you go back and look at that, did you have any structured thought processes that got you to a decision?
You know, the main thing was I thought to myself in terms of kids, at one point they're not going to need me. Mm. And I am going to be here with this person that we're not gelling. And I didn't want it. We did try to, you know, all of the things, but I didn't want to expose my kids to it getting worse, mm-hmm. you know, and I did have that thought of, you know, is, you know, cause a lot of people, if you're listening and you're thinking about this or whatever, your first thought is my children, is it going to screw them up? Mm-hmm. And I went to a therapist and I asked, and you know, they said to me, the girl said to me, I don't think I've ever sat in front of a person more clear on her decision. And now I also recognize one of my superpowers is an ability to make a quick decision and say, in this moment now, this is how I've got this. This is what I'm going to do. For right or wrong, it's going to figure itself out the way it needs to. Mm-hmm. And my personal, you know, as hard as it was to, you know, put the kids as a priority. And luckily I had that ability with my ex to make them a priority. Mm-hmm. But the thought process was just like, this isn't feeling good. Mm-hmm. And I can say, well, that I have to stay because it's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not feeling good, that's rolling into my kids. That's rolling into my
right.
other things.
It starts to manifest everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so moving from the fear of the unknown to a place where you just start to build momentum and say, hey, something is going on here. I know required work. But yes. It also required figuring out what I'm good at. And so you know, what did you try? How did you know? How did you navigate that?
I'm still figuring that out.
Well, you're good. You're good.
I'm good at figuring it out.
You're good at something because you're doing something right.
I'm good at going with the flow. I'm starting to understand as well. You know what it did? I did what was necessary, right? Mm-hmm. At the moment, find a job. And so I went and got a job actually at Lululemon because I did have some background in fashion. I did fashion marketing. I went and got a degree late in life. So I thought, okay, I'll work my way to head office. I was living in Lululemon, so it made sense. You know?
I was getting clothes for free or discounted.
Yes. Although as soon as I was there, it wasn't cracked up to what I thought it would be. But then I'll say life pivotal moment number two was that when I was hired by Lululemon, they put you through an extensive kind of team building exercise. And one of them is a vision board. And mm-hmm. I still have the piece of paper where they asked you to write out your 1 year, 3 year, 5 year vision and all of the things that you wanted and what makes you happy. And I wrote it all. And then for Lululemon, I wrote, I'm going to be your number one manager. And I'm going to like, and then I came home and I was like, hell no. And I wrote out a different one. And so I'd never done anything with vision. That was the first time I was exposed to that. I didn't understand the power of it. Mm-hmm. But when I'm unpacking how I am now, these moments all come together.
They all start to come together. There's always a pebble. There's always a to follow.
And so at that same time, I was introduced to the world of network marketing back at that same time where I had the job. And I was limited on the time I got with my kids, right? I'm working retail. I had to work nights. I had to drop my kids. They were little then at early childcare and pick them up late. And I had to work holidays. And, you know, someone got sick. I had to get a babysitter. And that was just like killing my heart because I had been with my kids. And I was introduced to network marketing. Didn't know anything about it really. But I saw a vision of being able to create some income and have more time with my kids. And so because by default, I see the positive, I trust, I kind of leapt. And when I was doing the Lululemon vision board, I came home and added that I was then becoming an entrepreneur and creating space for myself financially. I didn't even know what that was going to look like. Right. But I now know that because I put it down and I believed in it, mm-hmm. it all just kind of came to be.
So when you say that word belief, I also remember because I had the picture when you're painting it, this woman on the couch, blaming her body on motherhood. Like, where does the confidence, like, is there really confidence or is it that you start to get to know who you were and you just said, you know what, let me just see where this can go. Like, what, like, how do you think that grew?
I think a lot of it, and you'll get this, is meeting people like you and other people and starting to like pull into your circle people that believe in you and people that are doing things that you're like, well, if they can, and back to the Oxygen magazine, mm-hmm. our mutual friend, Fran Dennis was on the cover. Yes. And I thought she was like a photoshopped non-human and she has six children. And I thought, well, this girl has six. I have three. I have no excuse. And then I met her live in person and she actually looked like that. And I went, well, then I have... It's possible.
It's possible, right.
So the belief comes and has come for everything I've done by looking at someone that's done it and then knowing if it was possible for them, it's possible for me in some element of it.
And I love it. And the other thing that really came back, the memory was when, you know, I know you started with Visalis. And I remember how you connected with me and you tried to get me to go down the, and I did, right? Yeah. But I'm more so picking on in that moment, and I don't know how long it'd been. It was like, now that I'm hearing, like now that I'm having this opportunity, this blessed moment with you, you were so good that I thought you'd been doing this forever, you know? And for people that want to get into network marketing, what are some of those, like, skill sets that you awoke in yourself that you didn't even know you had, that, you know, that somebody might be able to sort of say, hey, I got that. What are the key skills?
And I love that you say that. And the reason why is I did believe in it. Mm-hmm. It goes back to my natural selection of like believing and just like failing forward. Mm-hmm. And so I believed in it and that I would never have, you know, wanted to partner with you if I didn't believe it. And so you felt my belief. Yes. You probably knew more about the products than I did. And that's okay. Because then as I started to grow into somebody that wanted more health, then I no longer aligned with the company I left. Mm-hmm. But what I learned in that business was a lot more about personal development. So then when I left, and started to build an online business and personal train, that still was that ability to create this other residual income that was there in my heart to help other people. So mm-hmm. I went and found another company and the current company I'm with. But for people, and kind of what I know is my mission today inside the space of network marketing mm-hmm. is to show it in a different light that a lot of people think. Yes. That it is, for me, it's about service. It's about helping people. And I think that the industry can get a bad rap, some rightfully, some just based on our, you know, things our people, our friends or family say. But the industry is really about personal development, growth, and service. And, you know, what people, if they're looking at it, or maybe they're in a business right now and they might be struggling, it all comes to belief. If you don't believe in your product, believe in your product line, people are going to feel that. If you don't believe in the compensation plan or the entity that you're partnered with, people are going to feel that. So on paper, it seems like a great model. But if you can't believe in it and then believe in yourself doing it.
People will see the inauthenticity of it. That's what, but I think it's also another thing, and you touched on it. I think it's also, like, some people are just born for service. They're like, it's my desire. Like, every single day, it's about creating amazing experiences, not only for myself, but for others around me. I want everyone that has an experience with me to walk out of that saying, whoa, because then you know you left a really great legacy. So I think you're really great at that.
Well, you know what? I've grown into that, because truth is, I had an ego phase. And it's actually been really interesting to even, like, be an outsider in my own life and be like, oh yeah, there was a lot of ego there, and I would not have, I wanted to help people, but not like, I wanted to help people selfishly almost,
you know,
there was a part, like, I did want to help other women, you know, feel better in their skin. And so not fully, but in the last 2 years, year, 6 months, like growing, like just like that. It's like the you growing in me, yeah, just like, what can I do to serve? Yeah. And so I think that people also have to be understand that we can learn all these things. We can grow into these people. You can listen to this podcast and be inspired every episode and take on some of that, pull it into your life, and then you go back out and teach it. And then you're in service and you don't even know that you're in service.
Right, right. And I love it. And there's already great nuggets. So even just recognize that when you learn, you teach, you know, so we're teaching you today, and you're learning. So teach. So we are in the COVID-19 and the heart of it right now. Right. So we're on shutdown, we're in lockdown. That's why I'm getting all these interviews. So, and I know that when we post this, it won't be around that time, who knows where we're going to be, but both of us started off this conversation excited about who we're going to be at the end of it. But I think Carol touched on something, because I felt my emotions come up. I think when you get to that level of service where helping people, like the opportunity to help people actually almost makes you want to weep, cry. That's when you're in true service. Like, it's a beautiful space to be, because it's almost like your spirit has been let loose from your pain and your shame and any kind of distraction that you've had in your life, you know, and Carol's the epitome of that. So let's talk about relationships, because you are happily married again, saw the beautiful wedding, and you know, like I say, I see a thriving relationship. I see a supportive relationship, and getting into another relationship may not have been easy. Can you talk about, you know, your trust level getting into it, and how you open up your heart again, and then to actually get married again, and how that this relationship is now so aligned with who you are?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, was that my ex, my parents' dad, or my parents, my kid's dad is a great man and a great father, but we should have been just friends. Now, no, I shouldn't say that. We were meant to do what we were meant to do, because my kids are so awesome. So awesome.
I get what you mean. Yeah.
You know, and so there was no alignment in, anything else that we did. And so when I met Mike, you know, we were aligned in so many things, you know, fitness being one of them, which I think a lot of people think that that's really kind of how we met and fell in love, as these two fitness bodies. But we really fell in love with, a desire for, like, live music and theater and comedy. And so, like, just check all the things that we liked together. And so it became so much easier than any relationship that I'd ever had in mm-hmm. life. And really definitely like a soul match. Mm-hmm. And so obviously, you know, I mean, it's pretty easy for me. Like you've seen them. So it's pretty easy for me. It wasn't too hard for me, but you know, but he came into a world with three kids. And so it's been a very interesting learning curve for that and navigating a life as a blended family and that kind of thing. And so it's been just incredible. He's definitely like the yin to my yang. He makes me chill. He makes mm-hmm. me have quiet time and reflection mm-hmm. and he looks at life differently than me. And so it has challenges as everything
of course,
does.
And it should, because it grows you. Mm-hmm.
But then when you do go through a marriage that does not end up working out all the way, you do recognize that you have to put effort in. And so he had a marriage that ended as well. And so even though everything about us aligns so great, we still have to wake up to be like, you need to have the date nights. You need to have the quiet time. You need to send him the sexy songs and do the stuff you did at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You'll have to put the effort into that relationship. And so because we both recognize that we didn't before, we make sure that we do here.
You know, I met Easton in the gym as well. And I like to say it wasn't necessarily the fitness thing, but I think for us, it was because of the level and the energy and the intensity that we're in the gym at, it was meeting a like human that understood that level of discipline.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's working. If it helps, we've been together for 19 years.
I know you have.
Woo. And it's had its challenges, girl.
I know that too.
But now, you know what's so funny now? And I don't know, I think you get this. When I have a challenge, like even if it's like in my marriage, I'm like, yes, this is a case study. This is going to be a keynote. Like, okay, right? And so all of our experiences, like when they show up, I'm like, yes, it's hard. This is right because I'm going to get through this and then speak about it.
It's my book. It's a book.
Welcome to chapter 10.
I got a lot of chapters. And you know what? I've only got a week till I'm 50.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And she looks amazing. You don't. If this is 50, like J-Lo, like the other day, like just blew my mind how she looks. Seriously. I would say you're on this bad J-Lo scale.
I'm trying. I'm doing the stretches. I got the pole.
Keep going, girl. Keep going. So one can assume that you're always in your thrive. And I know you shared something very intimately before we started this podcast. I believe you have so much understanding of what that looked like. And so can you talk to us about a recent time when you came off your thrive and everything that you were using as the tools to sort of keep you inspired and motivated and going were suddenly not working? Can you take us through that? Because I think listeners need to definitely hear.
Yeah. That's for sure chapter 12. yeah. And so, you know, just last year, and, you know, I am by default a positive person. I am a person that sees the glass half full. I, to be honest, have often had a hard time empathizing with people that, you know, spend a lot of time in negativity. Not that that's right of me, but I couldn't empathize. I'd be just like, change your mind, switch it up. Like, it's just do it. Just do it. And last May 2019, I was called back into a routine mammogram. And I was like, go back for the mammogram. And then 2 hours later, get a call from my doctor who says, come in, we want to see you. And I still was kind of like, And I sat in her chair and I just remember her saying, why did you wait so long? Malignant cancer, we have to act fast. I don't know what the result's going to be. Mm. And then I just walked out. Mm. And I remember getting in my car and just losing it. And this was May 9th. Mother's Day was 3 days later. My son was graduating university 2 weeks later. And I just thought, I'm not going to be here for any of those days. And I remember May so clearly. Everyone was complaining about the rain. And I was like, we're alive to feel the rain. And I remember being so angry. I was angry watching the old people walk into Walmart. I was angry watching young people. I was angry. And I kept saying, why me? I've got, you know, and then I felt guilty that I thought that because so many great people that have passed from these diseases, you know, and it, I just, my head was just in this fog and I couldn't get a positive thought. I couldn't squeeze a positive thought. I couldn't trick myself for 3 weeks. I would fake it when I was around my kids because they didn't really know yet because I didn't know. And then I would just lose it. I would lose it. And it felt so heavy. And I did recognize, you know, when I get through this, this is, you know, God, universe way of saying to me, this is how people feel. For whatever reason, you know, there was no bananas at the grocery store. This is how some of them feel. And so I started to recognize, okay, I'm getting your messages. I'm getting the messages. I'm getting the messages. And so for a long time, I was just in a funk. And then I started to pull on some of the things that I knew. I didn't want any anger towards cancer. You know, a lot of people in the F cancer, I didn't believe in any of that. Like I knew that if I attached anger and fight, that just had a heavy feeling. So I just kept saying, it's part of my journey. There's something to learn here, you know, and I really focused in on what I did know was to be true is that all we can control is our thoughts at this moment. So thinking about what a week is going to be like or 2 months and if I'm going to need chemo and what's coming down the road was just going to send me into a tizzy. So let me just focus on what I can now. I feel great. My kids are here. You know, one's graduating, daughter's birthday. And I just kept pulling on being present and journaling to get me through each step of it.
If you can go back to that day in the car, do you believe you would still have that same thought? Or have you learned enough from this experience? I always say if I had that pixie dust, whether it's for myself or somebody else, it's our inability to just stay present saying, okay, I've only received some news today. That's it.
Yeah. Well, and that's sort of the stuff that started to wake me up pretty quick was like, well, I don't know what's coming for me. So let me make today amazing. Let me make, you know, let me plan a trip. Let me go on a vacation. Let me take my kids out of school and have lunch with them. And the things that I don't know that I would have changed how I felt in the car because it woke me up to so much. Of being present, like simple things like, you know, my daughter wanted me to drive her to school every day. And I would be like, no, get on the bus. And she's 16. Get on the bus because I'm so busy. And I work for myself. I started to recognize there's a lot of stuff I didn't need to do to be busy in my day. And I sat back and I thought, my 16-year-old daughter loves me. So she doesn't want me to drive her just because she's lazy. She loves me. Like we're like besties. And I'm here saying, no, take the bus. And missing out on 30 minutes of incredible conversation with my daughter. The amount of times I told my son, you know, I can't drive him to the gym. He wanted to go to the gym to be healthy. And so it just woke me up to what is really important. And one of my keynotes and my books is that the most impactful moment I had was that I was in my hallway of my, what's it called? Anyway, my hallway off my kitchen. And I have a huge calendar. With all the months, you know, we all have it. We plan out like to year 2025, every, you know, every event you've got, all the work things you have, all the jazz. And I just would, you know, you just every day I just cross it off. And I sat in this hallway and I said, how dare I be crossing these days off, just crossing them off, like whatever, canceling them out, not knowing how many more I have, assuming that 6 months from now or a year from now, I can do all this stuff. And so I one of the books that I read that I was talking to you about, one of the tasks was to meditate and ask cancer why it came. And I did that. And the message I received was to find more joy. And I'm a happy person, but I wasn't doing the things, driving my daughter, the dancing, the being goofy. I wasn't doing enough of that. The girlfriend lunches, the... And so I decided I grabbed an orange Sharpie because it was by me. And I decided I was going to start tracking joy instead of crossing off days and just circling the days, feeling fulfilled with something that brought me joy, no matter what it was.
The start of my journey started with my friend telling me that I don't feel your joy. And so you could be positive and not joyful. Right? And I do believe you could be positive and impact people. But when you can marry joy to your positivity, you impact the world. Yeah.
Goosebumps. Yes.
Yeah. So that's big. That's big because you were positive. And actually, one of the questions I had was, to the outside world, they may not have known you're going, I don't know if they knew or didn't know you're going through this. Did they see your positivity? Like, how did you present yourself to the outside world?
Yeah, it was such an interesting struggle because I have kind of a love, oh, I'm catching myself. I used to say I have a love-hate with social media. I do love it. You get to monitor what happens and who you see. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I had to share the message. And once I knew the outcome, once I knew, you know, I didn't say anything to my kids until I kind of knew what was going on because I knew how they would go. And so once I knew, then I was open about it. On the journey because I got so many messages from people that just said, you've made, you know, I know I need to go get a mammogram. I'm going to go get it. And the amount of women that reached out to me that were diagnosed and were going through, they said to me, you know, seeing how you handled it has made it less scary for me. And so, a lot of people did message me. I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you're doing it. And I just recognized that, you know, applying those same strategies of belief, visualization, meditation, acting in the present can help us cope with anything. And so one thing that I did do was I did a little video on Instagram that just said, like, everything in life has only the weight in which we give it. Mm. And so the period of time we have right now with the coronavirus, mm-hmm. not to discount it at all, mm-hmm. but we get to choose.
Yeah. With the way like you
we
look
were talking
at it,
about the beautiful yeah. things that are coming from it. Yeah. We can only control so much mm-hmm. our thoughts. And so I just wanted to be a beacon for like, whatever that you do, you can choose the weight that you give it.
Yes. And I love that because I think even with the COVID-19, just as you can choose the doomsday thoughts, you can actually choose the miraculous miracle thoughts, right? And so Carol, thank you, because I'm going to say something else to you. I know that you asked why cancer showed up for you, but I would say for the world, because of the fact that what you just said and the people that were like, how are you doing this? I think sometimes God, the universe has a way of throwing such hard things at us and using us as the vessel to have to go through that so that others can avoid some of the, because you're strong enough to be able to take that, rise above it and teach as you go. Like, so thank you. Thank you for thriving out of that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. So self-care, I know you believe in it. So can you like give us your list of self-care non-negotiables? Yes.
And you know what I want to say for people listening, if you're having a hard time getting a self-care routine, or you hear some of the things that I say, just recognize it took me a long time to kind of get in my own rhythm. And I think that what I recognized is sometimes we hear people and we think, okay, let me do everything that they're doing, how they're doing it. Just find a rhythm that works for you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, when you listen to these podcasts over and over, you're going to hear some things that a lot of us do. And mm-hmm. that's what I started to think is like mm-hmm. all these people that are living into a life that I want are saying to do these similar things. Maybe mm-hmm. I should start. So mm-hmm. I do wake up early and I love, journaling right away. I started doing something recently that the girl that I learned it from, she calls it Janning. So it's a combination of journaling and planning, because I like brain dump and half the stuff is about what I have to do for work and half of it is how I'm going to take over the world and what my book is, right? And it's like a meld of them. And so I think that sometimes people, if you talk about journaling, they're so worried that there has to be something so profound, but it could just be getting your thoughts out. So I do wake up and I do that. I do a little bit of meditation. I'm not like magical at it. It's not hours, but I do like set my intentions for the day before I even get out of bed. I just say, I'm so grateful to be alive. And I just start my day. Like I just start the thoughts flowing. And then I do love to work out in the morning. I'm back into a routine. I got out of a little bit of a funk, but I do like to move my body. And again, I think for people, if that's just like throwing a song on and dancing around like a crazy person for 5 minutes, that changes your state. Yeah, like, yeah. Wow, crazy. You know, do what you love. Don't go to the gym and do something that you don't love. Figure out something that you love. So exercise, you know, definitely flooding my body with great nutrition. Laughter is part of my self-care. Unplugging from social media is part of my self-care. Girlfriends, chats, we need to have lunch together. You and I is part of my self-care. Like.
I love it. And you know, self-care is important. And so, but why is it important? Why is it? Because some people think self-care is not selfish.
Yeah. You know what? Like, And maybe you've heard this before and maybe you haven't, but you can't pour from an empty vessel. Mm. You can't pour from an empty cup. And whether you are trying to build your own business, whether you're working your way up the corporate ladder, whether you're a parent, you want to be a parent, you're going through university, whatever you're doing, we can't just drive ahead and not fill ourselves up. And filling ourselves up includes, you know, being around inspiring people. Listening to this podcast is self-care. Mm-hmm. And then really finding some space for yourself. And, you know, it's not about making time. Everyone has the same hours in the day. When something becomes a priority, you'll find the time for it, and you'll make the time for it and it'll start panning out for you. But just try it, because every single person has a next level them just waiting to bust out. And that comes out when you give yourself some space to heal and grow and feel good. That's what that's waiting for.
I love that. And that's why I love empowerment. That's why I did this Own Your Thrive, because like, I believe that everyone, it's our birthright to thrive. It's our birthright to live next level life. Right. And yeah, we should open ourselves up to that possibility every single day and just renew it. Yeah. So I'm getting to the speed round, you know, and I will be honest with you, like I'm finally understanding the power of social media. Mm-hmm. I had also a love hate, with hate being more, but really it hit me just the other day with Goldcast doing that video, 3 minutes and 27 seconds. That's it. Around the world, global impact, touched so many lives. And I'm like, the power of 3 minutes. How are you using your 3 minutes a day? You know? And if you know you can inspire the world with just a minute post, a simple post, it's, you know, wouldn't you choose that, you know?
So, and that's what's happening in this time, right? People are doing home workouts. They're doing, John Legend did like a live concert I just watched on his Instagram. I was like, ah, it was beautiful.
I've seen more positivity in the last 8 weeks than anything ever. And I feel like we're getting that kind of cleanse around the world. I believe that this reset was necessary. Yeah. So on to this fire, rapid fire. It's not a lot. It's 4 questions. So when you think of thriving, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
Oh my gosh, you.
Well, don't say me.
No, somebody but else. Really?
No, because somebody else has said me.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Gosh, who? I can think of so many people.
Okay, good.
I can think of so many people. I can think of like J-Lo in the like crazy world, because my gosh, she thrives.
Isn't she?
She thrives dancing.
Thank God.
Yeah, I think of Oprah because just the way there's so many things. I think of, gosh, I mean, honestly, I can think of so many people in my in my life that have led the way for me in terms of how they're showing up in the network marketing space for me to model. Parents, my mom, you know, my mom and dad. I mean, I'm around nothing but thrivers, which is why.
And I love that. Which is why you thrive. Your environment matters. Yes.
Yeah.
What book has helped you with your thrive?
You know what? I'm a queen of like 500 books. And so like, if I look right here, there's actually right here, the One Thing by Gary Keller.
You're the second person. I just interviewed Melanie Saka. She said The One Thing. I guess I'm going to have to read this book.
It's a great book. And Grit, Angela Duckworth.
Yes, I read that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm a girl that like buys all the books. And then I like, Big Magic is another one.
Okay.
Gosh, so much. And then like, I mean, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Think and Grow
Rich. Do you read a lot?
I read a lot, but I read, I pick up, I throw some notes in, and then I move on to something else. Like I use books, actually. This is just coming to me now. Like I have angel cards. I use books that way. I'll go into my room and I'll just grab the book that's calling to me and I'll open up the page, and inevitably what I'm reading is what I needed to read.
I love that. That's a good idea.
Like random.
Yeah, I love that. What is the daily activity that helps you with your thrive? I think I know.
Journaling.
Yeah.
Journaling for sure.
Yeah.
And getting myself, I've been really working on getting myself in state, next level state. Mm-hmm. So I'll put on a song and music that just makes me feel so great, and I'll smile.
Mm-hmm. First thing in the morning, right? Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or anytime I get in a dip.
Yeah. And to something that you said earlier about journaling, and if I could, because a lot of people, to your point, think that the journaling needs to be this like, you know, earth shattering, you know, it doesn't. Like, one of the things I've learned going to bed, because I journal typically before I go to bed, is just think about what you're thinking about. Mm. It doesn't have to be complete thoughts. It doesn't need to be, it could be words. Yeah. And write it, because it does a couple of things with sleep. If you can empty your thoughts and your brain recognizes that those thoughts are written down for reference,
yeah,
then you don't turn in your mind when you sleep. You
very true.
Have more restful, a more restful.
That's true. Yeah. I have a, yeah, that's, and actually if I think back to the day, I used to also do gratitude journal at night, and yes, I would write three things I was grateful for that happened that day, and one thing in the present as if it's already happened.
Woo!
So vision, yes, casting forward, mm-hmm, you know, my book, you know, has, that my book is done, yes, or whatever. And yes, so, but the gratitude can be as easy as I had a great hair day. Like, yes, it doesn't have to, yes, be earth shattering.
Yes, yes. It just needs to be, it needs to be grateful. Something. You'll build more joy in your life.
Yeah.
And last but not least, what is one misconception of you right now as you thrive?
Oh, that I got my SHIT together and I know what that I'm doing.
Girl, you and I probably say, we probably say, we could probably start bawling about our lives in an instant.
Oh yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing or how I've even done anything.
I totally understand that. So it's great to hear. So Carol, this has been so fabulous, and I want the listeners to know where else they can find you, because I follow you, and like I said, I follow people that I learn from. Mm. And there's never been a post that you've done that was just it was worthy of your joy. And it was worthy of me feeling joy. So, you know, where can we find you?
Thank you. I would say the best place is probably just Instagram. I am_Carol Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. You can find everything else from there, but that's really where I'm most active. I do a lot of like spits and spurts of whatever hits me. So you'll get a mix of all sorts of stuff there, but come say hi. Sure.
I love that. I love that. And please do follow her. She is a beacon of love and hope and joy and fabulousness. And she's an experienced entrepreneur. I know I probably need to have some conversations with her. And if she could build her own wealth, then she can help you build yours. And I think that that's I love that you do that. And thank you for being such a gift to this world.
I love you.
And I thank you so much for being in my life. And I thank you for showing up for this podcast.
Anytime.
Yes. And so that's where we go and say, we're out. Bye, Carol.
I love you.
I love you.
Bye.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.